Oi, Kev.
Yeah, mate. I'm busy. Don't disturb me when I'm in the backyard.
But, Kev, I went back to the crime scene, Kev.
Why'd you do that, you big dumbo? Can't you see I'm back here burning stuff?
Yo, Kev, I'm calling from jail.
Okay. Oh, hold on, I have a phone call. Yes, this is Kevin.
Yeah, I got caught shoplifting, and I need you to come make sure I get out.
I don't understand how I have friends, because I literally do not care about any of you, and I wish you were all dead.
And scene.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Jared. Hello. And that's Dan over there, who's giggling.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, it was our worst impression of any film we've ever done. Because, like, we didn't do any accents, we didn't do anything.
I tried and failed. Like,
yeah, you tried. I didn't even try.
I was going for British, but it probably, like, dwindled into some bastardized Australian.
I don't think my British is very good, so I don't know if I even tried. Okay, anyways, guys, hi. This is the Indie Film Review. We like to review independent films here. This is what we do on the show.
We find a film.
Or we get a film requested to us, like the film we're about to cover, Sustained 2019. I believe it was sent by the director.
Yes, David Hastings. I believe so.
Yeah, so he sent us this. This is a new-ish film, 2019, and we are here to talk about it, because that's what we do. This is what the show is.
Yeah.
Guys, keep up. Come on.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to explain this to you? So, Dan, why don't you tell... Yeah. I think it's appropriate. Why don't you give us the 30-second elevator pitch of Sustain?
So Sustain is a film about a pair of brothers who are...
Pair of brothers!
Just grown up in their mom's flat in Britain. And
growing up in your mom's
I guess they're
flat.
Going to uni and everything.
Going to uni.
And one of them is mixed race, so he becomes a victim of a hate crime from, like, this local gang. And let me tell you, it's run by Kev, and Kev is... he's serious biz. Anyway, he ends up getting murdered, and the brother wants revenge.
When you're the ringleader of your local crime syndicate is named Kev? maybe he's not such a big problem after all. But
he's
a pretty big maniac in this.
Yeah, he's insane in this movie. It was really entertaining to watch.
I just think it's funny that his name is Kev, but he is also the most insane. He could be like Mad Dog or Face Biter.
This isn't a Guy Ritchie movie. I'm warming up my mouth hole.
Dan, you know I love it when you warm up your mouth hole. Live during podcast recording. So we try to have a little preamble before when we record just to like wake ourselves up and get the juices flowing, but sometimes that spills over. And that's part of the biz.
No, we talked about what we were concerned about today.
mm-hmm. That's right. That's
we
right.
had a very negative fears, talk.
All of our fears. We basically just cried into each other's arms and then we're like, well, shall we record an episode? And then we're like, all right. World's on fire. Let's do it.
I mean, that's really what podcasting is now. So it's like everybody's saying, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Might as
that's
well.
That's right.
But we're still your favorite.
That's right. Questions. Dan.
All right.
Questions.
How did you feel? I want to get deeper into your... because I thoroughly enjoyed him. But I want to get deeper into your thoughts about the main character, or the main villain, Kevin.
Kev. It's not Kevin. It's Kev.
Do you remember his last name? Is it Flake or something?
McKenzie. The McKenzie brothers.
McKenzie's. Why did I think Flake? I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be cool, too. Was there a question there somewhere?
Yeah, just I want to know how you felt about him.
You got to do it like in an inflection. Like, how did you feel about him? I liked him. I liked his creepy fucking grin. I thought he hammed it up in the right places.
Yeah, definitely.
He felt very menacing and like a true fucking psychopath. I almost wish he went like one step further. I wish he got to that Nicolas Cage level of just being a fucking...
That would have been really interesting to watch.
The twinkle in his eyes of like, I'm almost there, man. He's K.O. Ken, and I need him to go Super Saiyan.
It's somebody who's, like, you know, in the indie film circuit and just acting in any film they can get, just watching somebody do that, whereas you would see Nicolas Cage, and you're like, oh, it's Nicolas Cage because he's so famous. Like, he does what he does. But I would definitely wanted to see, like, a small player rise to the big ranks.
Big boys. I don't know. So, yeah, I did.
I would have hired appreciate... that kid if he was... Well, I mean, I still probably would hire him because he's extremely menacing, I think.
Kev, too. Back in the habit.
Well, yeah. We'll be in touch, Kev.
He's just terrorizing nuns. Okay, my question to you, Dan.
Yes.
How did you feel about the acting of the main lead brother character?
I liked all the acting all the way around in this film.
Okay. What about some of the more dramatic
scenes? There was one that I didn't. I'm sorry. I liked everybody but the reporter woman. I felt that she was a little bit too dramatic in times.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting on a little bit too much of the emotion. And it kind of took me out of it in those regards. But outside of that, like, she was doing well. It got a little bit too much at times.
Melodramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I also think that Brett Dewsbury, who plays Kieran. Oh, Kieran Flank. Is that where you got the name from?
That's what it is. Flank is the people who were the victims.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the brother. He's the brother of the person that gets killed. Hate crimed.
Toby.
And... I thought there were some pretty powerful scenes with him. It's not really a spoiler. I don't know. Because you kind of know a lot of the gist of it just from your 30-second pitch. But when he goes to identify the body, and there are certain scenes like that where I thought they did a really good job. How did you feel about the camera work? Like, everything besides the acting in this?
I'll tell you this. I've watched so many movies in the last 4 days that...
Sure.
Some of the cinematography, I have seen some very impressive cinematography, and I don't know if it was coming from Sustain because, you know, the images are fluttering, but Sustain kept my interest throughout the entire film, and it looked really nice, but I don't think it did anything ambitious, and really the film didn't call for it, so to speak, because you're mostly trying to identify with the narrative and the Flank brother who's, you know, pursuing revenge.
Yeah, it's definitely fulfills its purpose. You're saying, there's not a lot of fancy camera work going on, but I always appreciate stuff like that. When the filmmaker can still keep my attention when there's no dialogue, just through the camera work, I think that's appreciated and can still be needed even in, like, a sad, somber film like this. So I was a little disappointed with how standard the camera work was. Mm. It definitely wasn't bad. It just, right. I wish it was just a little more.
I'm so used to getting let down by movies that anything that is demands my attention and, you know, engages me throughout. I am very much a fan of that.
You would say that you were thoroughly engaged throughout this entire film?
Yes.
Okay.
There were
some parts where I kind of felt...
It probably lulled a little bit, but I got past it. I got past it really quick. Now, I have another question for you. How do I want to put it?
In my mouth.
No. Could you see this movie?
Could I see this movie?
Yes.
Well, I have two working eyes, and I had my video on.
Yeah.
And the monitor was facing me. And I had it turned on, and I had the movie playing, and I was looking at it, so yes.
On my monitor, it was just very dark. So, like, there were certain parts of the film...
I was like, what is he asking me?
There were certain parts of the film that, like, if there was just a minimal glare on the screen, I'm like, I can't see what's going on.
Okay. So, lighting, I guess,
would
be the issue there.
I feel like it could have been lit more. I get the attitude and the tone that you were going for with it, but my screen could have been, like, this is a film that you would want to see in a dark place, in a movie theater, basically.
I don't know. I didn't think about, I guess that didn't bother me too much, or I didn't have that issue, but when you think about lighting, right, you have, okay, do we want it to be naturalistic lighting? Do we want to keep the scene as real as possible? Or are we going to put, you know, like, when you watch a space drama and the people are wearing astronaut suits, like, why are there lights on the inside of the astronaut suit, like, lighting up the characters' faces. It's not for them. It's for people watching the film so you can see those characters' faces. So it's like, do you care if the lighting is natural or not? Or do you, you know, it's like sometimes you can bend the rules and I feel like it's okay. Like, hey, where's this light coming from? And then you just be like, ah, who cares? Like, we want to see what's going on. Just let there be light coming out of that weird spot. Who cares? You know, so I'm more forgiving on things like that when it comes to lighting, because I'd rather see the action. If the lighting makes the scene better in any way, then just do it. Right. Even if it doesn't make sense. That's how I feel.
Okay. Well, then I guess my qualm is with the lighting. It could have been lighter.
I think so. For a lot
of the important confrontations, and in general, like it's bleak. Yes, I get it. But whenever you're indoors, it needed to be more lit up.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they couldn't have done it.
I don't know. Yeah, budgetary reasons. We could just get into it.
All right. Let's just get into it. So, if you would like to watch it, you may totally watch it. I recommend you watch it because I enjoyed it. You can find it somewhere.
What is it, Amazon Prime?
No, I think I watched it on YouTube. If you would like to watch this film, you can email David Mathis directly at...
Okay, don't quote me on this. I think it's Hulu and Amazon Prime, but I could be wrong.
So
it's kind of hard for me to find out.
They might be on Amazon. They might be on Hulu.
They might be on the devices that you stream things
on.
Yeah,
just go look up Sustain 2019
and
2019, get in it.
You'll find it. Come on. What, you got to do the work for you? Unbelievable.
So, Jared, let's talk a little bit about the movie. Let's talk about some
of
these
scenes. Yeah, sure. So, we've got the two brothers.
Toby and Toby 2.
We got the Flank brothers and we got the McKenzie brothers. The McKenzie brothers are bad. There's the two McKenzie brothers and then there's the third friend, I guess. And then we have the two Flank brothers. One is biracial and one is white. And they have this scene at a bar opening up where the kid already seems very nervous.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Oh, Toby. Toby seems very nervous already when they're all sitting around together at this bar with their friends, and Kieran is there. Everyone's kind of like having fun and talking about how, oh, you're going to go to college or whatever. It's going to be really, really great. They're all excited. And Toby just seems like, I don't know if he just is very shy or what the deal is, but he already seems like he's on edge. And then we have these guys walk in. The first guy walks in, he's got a hoodie on. He flips down his hoodie. And I didn't think of anything of it. Then a second guy comes in. He flips off his hoodie. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? Like, they're really focusing a lot of attention on these guys. They must be important.
That is true. They did do that.
Do you think these three guys came just to beat up on Toby?
It's weird because they were having a meeting in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like, what are they doing? And then Toby was in there, and he was hiding, and you're like, because none of this has been explained yet, but you're thinking, like, why is Toby so afraid of these guys? And you're like, okay, well, they obviously hate him. I just don't know why. You figure out it's a racial thing. The guys are just fucking pricks. And they basically assault him in the bathroom, and the owner comes out and is like, hey, get the fuck out of here. You guys are banned.
What's their name?
What, the kids?
No, he said you're banned.
Oh, the name of the band, yeah. Dan? Is that the joke we're doing right now? Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. They don't have a band, Dan. They're just bad boys. They're a band of brothers.
They're the McKenzies, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so they get thrown out.
Two brothers, the McKenzie brothers, and they have this... Is his name Frank or something? Is like this other wacky.
I don't know. Which one of those... Three out of the bad boys was the one who was having second thoughts.
That was Kev's brother.
It was the Kev's brother? Yeah. Okay. Because later on there's a scene... Oh, did we say there's spoilers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're spoiling this, by the way. Later on there's a scene where Kev's brother is selling drugs. And Kieran, like, confronts him. And Kev's brother, he seems so remorseful, like, later on in the film. And then right there he just seemed like... Oh, what are you going to do about it? Like, oh, let's fight.
I took that as he's keeping up appearances.
Just being defensive?
General. Like, he needs to... He's already set for himself that lifestyle to follow. So, therefore, he needs to maintain his image. Otherwise, it's going to... Because it's not just... it's not just him he's protecting. It's, you know, his cronies he's protecting as well.
I think the dynamic between Kev and his two lackeys should have been a little more defined, at least to, as to like why they follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kev treats them like such trash. And I just don't get why. Because like when you think of like a mafia boss or like a gang leader or whatever, it's usually you have that person and then you have a large swath of people who are all around this person. And that's what makes them powerful and menacing and scary. But with Kev, it's just, he's insane. Like, Kev will just do anything. And I guess, well, like, okay, that's his menace.
Here is...
But he doesn't have a group of people to protect him. It's just these two guys.
Here's my breakdown. Ready?
Sure.
It is Kev's brother is his little brother. He's too afraid to, you know, go against Kevin.
Yeah.
There's that explanation.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the other one is probably, like, his bloke from childhood. You know what I mean? And they're tight, but Kevin abuses that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see how he could, like, manipulate these people. I just want to see, like, do they have a dependency on him? I want to see more of him manipulating these other people in his life to keep them there, because all he does is, like, tell them they're trash and push them away. So I'm like, if this guy's a psychopath, normal, like, psychopaths to me aren't always pure evil all the time. They're good at manipulating. They're good at, like, tricking people and getting them to do what they want with no remorse for the consequences. So I feel like that could have been worked in a better way to where I get that motivation more. Maybe it wasn't needed.
Stay tuned for the prequel. I'm friends with a psychopath.
Yeah. Kevin friends. Because the detectives and the police are all afraid of Kev. They're all like, we don't want to fuck around with Kev.
That was very strange to me. Like, the municipal defense, what am I saying? The policemen. Like, there's like, everybody knows to, like, avoid
detectives.
Kevin. Yeah, like homicide attempts. Like,
how many times has this guy, because they said he's done a lot of crimes, him and his brothers, but has he been caught for all of those crimes? I'm wondering. So it's like, how many times has he been caught versus, because like, he threatened that reporter who was following them. We had this lady who was, before any of this stuff happened, she was following the brothers and trying to figure out all the bad stuff they've been doing to write an expose on them. He broke that woman's arm and threatened to kill her if she published the story.
Yeah.
And she didn't publish the story. I'm like, the dude broke your arm. Why aren't you in jail? Like, why isn't he in jail? So, like, there's certain spots where I didn't understand how Kev got away with some of the things he did. And I wish some of that was more explained.
Well,
I mean, I get the fear aspect, but how is a detective, like, afraid of this?
Right. What I got out of it is the small town aspect where everybody kind of knows everybody, and the cops can't pin him down because they have no proof, because he's too good at evading them, and they just know how violent he can be, but they have no proof. And it just, again, that saying that out loud seems strange.
I mean, it's a pretty interesting situation to be in, though. Like, you're like, God damn it, I know you did this, but I can't prove it. Kev even goes and confesses to the brother of the person that he killed, and there's nothing they can do about it because they're like, well, he confessed to you. It's hearsay or whatever. They're like, you know, it's still not hard evidence. And I'm like, that is fucked up. But then I'm thinking, like, okay, what if everyone in town says that this guy is bad? You know what I mean? Like, what if they get enough people to just say, yeah, he's done all of these bad things? Think about, like, when people sexually assault women, if enough women come forward, you know, if you have like 10 women that all say this guy did the same thing, you're gonna get convicted. So they could build a case on him. But then if that case gets thrown out or if they lose, then I know in the US you usually can't get charged again. I don't know how UK courts work.
That is true. It's a completely different culture that we're not even really considering.
Here's how I would solve this issue. Give Kev more men. Give him, like, more lackeys. That's what I think would have solved a lot of the issues I had with this, is, like, make him more of a threat of, like, he has influence over a lot of people, and he can make fucking people disappear if he wants, because he just has all this manpower. And then he makes them do it without him coming in harm's way, so, like, nothing can ever get pinned on him, like a crime basso. So I think that could have worked out.
I come to Kev on the day of his daughter's wedding.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, then, I don't know. Then you're right. Maybe it becomes cliche. Who knows? Was there another scene you wanted to talk about?
Well, I kind of want to go through the revenge tale. So we're going to follow...
Sure.
What's his name?
Kieran. Kieran and Toby is the one who died.
We're going to follow Kieran with each of the... They're not all kills, are they? No.
Oh, no, no, no. His revenge plot...
Yeah.
So this is what... This is the best aspect of Sustain is that Kieran is fighting from... He wants to get full revenge and just fucking kill all these people to... he needs to get revenge in the right way because yeah. would his brother want him to get thrown in jail for all of this?
Right,
you know?
And
so,
the reporter and him had a heart-to-heart, and that's yeah. where the empathy actually comes
yeah.
from.
So he's stuck between like the Punisher and Batman. He doesn't know which one he wants to be. And that is the best, like I said, the best aspect of this. I really like this.
No, it's good
like,
writing. This like, he's so conflicted.
Yeah, it could have went so stereotypical with him just going like getting revenge and just shooting them all. And yeah, sure, that would have been like a dark place to take it, and we could have had some interesting things there. But I like that he tries to set them up or mm-hmm. make them fuck up so he can put them in jail, so he can do all these different things. But yeah, go ahead,
Dan. So who does he go after first?
The friend. He goes after the friend first, and then he goes after the brother of Kev.
Okay, so I like the way that he got the friend mixed up, where he basically uses their persona against them. Where mm-hmm. he walks by him, like, briskly in a store and, like, nudges him. And in the process of nudging, he, like, slips... He plants a product there that he's going to get...
A SIM card.
Yeah, the SIM card that he's going to get in trouble for shoplifting. And
because he has such a rap sheet...
He's like, yo, bro, and, like, he chases after him, essentially, and mm-hmm. makes a scene out of it. And that was well done, I believe.
I liked it a lot, too. It's because it's way better than him just killing him.
Yeah.
Because now he's framed him.
Exactly.
For shoplifting.
And then, one of the best scenes in the movie, this leads to the best scene in the movie. So that kid goes to jail and calls Kev. Kev comes to the jail and
yeah,
basically
dude.
Says, you are the stupidest son of a bitch for calling me here. Like, I'm kind of on Kev's side, but the way Kev treats it, that is worth the movie. That scene is so intense. It's awesome.
I thought you were going to talk about the scene where he shows up to talk to him.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. That scene is so fucking good. And then when he tries to get up, that one guy like tries to grab him and starts screaming at him.
Yeah.
It was great.
That is the eye of the... No, not the eye of the... I don't know. That's the strongest part of the movie. It was...
That was also my favorite scene. So he frames that bitch. Then what happens? Who else he frame?
Does he frame
the drug deal? He frames him in a way. He frames him with his fists. He reframes his face with his foot.
Okay, I remember now. Yeah, he beats the shit out of Roy McKenzie.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So he's starting to go from Batman to. Punchy, kicky, maybe murdery stuff. You think he's going to do some clever thing with the Kev brother, right?
Right.
But instead he just beats the shit out of him. he's trying to like send a message to the main brother.
Right.
Which I
and
thought was interesting.
And then the Roy ends up in a hospital. And mm-hmm. then, that was another good thing. Like anything with Kevin, I think. Just, we need to talk about Kev.
Great reference. Excellent reference.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, Kev is the star of the
show. He's amazing.
The
fucking Roy's in a hospital bed and Kev hears about it. He storms into the hospital and like yells at the nurse and she mm-hmm. is so afraid for her life that
yeah.
she complies.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Now, did you feel like it was because, okay, Kev treats his brother like he doesn't care about him at all, but then gets upset when he's in the hospital and like wants to avenge him. I almost felt like maybe Kev viewed his brother and his other lackey as like property. Like he was annoyed that the things that he owned, like his tools, were being hurt rather than his brother was actually hurt. I thought that was kind of interesting. I am extrapolating. I mean, none of this is explicitly said.
I think you're pretty spot on with that.
But it fits his persona of just being a straight old fucking uncaring piece of shit. But yeah, that phone call, when he calls Kieran using Toby's phone, because mm-hmm. he kept his phone, that was so fucking good. God damn, that was great. And then Kieran's like, why is my dead brother calling me on the phone right now? And he picks up and he's like, where do you want to meet? Like, because I'm going to kill you. It's like, just name the time and the place.
Yeah. And then he ends up taking him to his workplace where he knows there are cameras.
Yep.
They duped Kev. They duped him.
Kev get duped. And then they record all of it, a la what Batman would do. And then Kieran gets...
We're dropping a lot of Batman.
Look, Kieran is basically Batman. Kev is basically the Joker. Why do you not see this?
I mean, you're not far off, I guess, with Kev being the Joker.
I'm just... I mean, I'm stretching it a lot, but... So, Dan, final thoughts. What'd you think?
Come for the story. Stay for the Kev.
Oh, hashtag Kev time. Hashtag bad Kev.
Hashtag bad Kev.
Hashtag good Kev? I don't know.
Good Kev, bad Kev.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. There were certainly some slow parts in this. Oh, here's one thing I forgot to mention. So this film does suffer from, there are certain scenes where it is showing characters do mundane things that we don't need to see. Oh, you know, like, yeah. I'm going to the microwave. I don't know. I'm just making a scenario. I don't know if that happened in the film. There are a few different scenes where we don't need to see the character do every little thing, like to go to answer a door. You just cut to answering the door. Cut out some of this in-between stuff that's not furthering the plot. I think it would have helped the film in a major way. Other than that, I think everything else was pretty freaking great, and like we keep saying over and over, Kev was awesome. He was at a 10, and I wanted him to be at an 11.
Yeah.
I wanted him to be just out of control, but I think for what he did, it was pretty great. So I enjoyed that aspect for sure. All right, Dan, let's close this motherfucker.
All right, you can find us on Instagram first today.
Ooh.
At Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. You can find us on anything that you get podcasts on. Find it.
That's right, baby girl.
Listen, thumbs up.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Again, we really appreciate all the emails. It still blows me away all the time how, like, we get emails almost every day of people requesting films, and it's fucking awesome. So thank you guys so much. If you really like the show, you can definitely do all the normal things of rating us on the iPhones and the Bluetooths and really get in there and like hit those
mouth.
Numbers.
Word of mouth is always the best.
Dan knows. Dan knows what I'm all about. But like, tell other people about the show, because I feel like that's the real grassroots way of getting people to watch
the
show.
And if there's anything that we like at the Indie Film Review, it's grassroots.
That's right, baby. We like to smoke it. Yeah. I don't know what's happening right now. Oh boy, it's gonna be a long day. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. We are hosted on the Necropodicon. You should check out thenecropodicon.com, because if you go to the Googles, you type you know the rest, necropodicon.com, and then you go there, click on the Discord, you can join the Discord and talk with all these other really cool shows and hang out with us. It's great. One of the newest shows, Mario's and Waffle. Well, I said that. No, Mario's. It's one of the newer shows, Mario and Waffles. I don't know why I said it backwards. They're so good. It's like an improv show where they will talk about anything you suggest to them, and they are so good at improv, it makes me mad. They're really good at it. Like, I literally want to fight them because they are very good, and the show is fantastic. So check them out. They're wonderful. So, okay, Dan.
Yes.
We did it. You have the final word.
Tune in for my future podcast called Mario's and Waffle, where I take a bunch of Mario impersonators and throw them in a room and starve them and throw a waffle and just record the audio of them fighting over for the waffle.
Dude, we're going to make bank. We're going to make bank.
This podcast is part of the Necropodicon Network.
Hey.
Huh?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you. Are you tired of watching the same multi-billion dollar films over and over again?
I sure am.
What if I were to tell you that there are movies out there that you have never seen before but are also entertaining?
I would say that I wouldn't believe you because you're all big ol' fibber.
Well, if you want to find out if they're good or not, why not check out Bad Rad Movies Podcast, a podcast covering many sorts of genres of films that you might have never heard of. Anything from
action, horror, fantasy, yuck, and comedy.
If you'd like to find out what films are good or bad, listen to Bad Rad Movies Podcast.
Wow, that sounds great.
To find out if these bad films are worth checking out. Available on every single podcast app in the universe. Don't just sit there with your thumb up your butt. Listen to Bad Rad Movies Podcast. Hosted by Richard Succa.
Warning, many of these films may not actually be entertaining. In fact, it is all subjective. If you feel like these subjective films are not to your liking, well, then listen to something else, because we will not be responsible for anything that might happen to you after you have watched these films.
Wow. I better go listen to the podcast right now.
That sounds just like me. Wow.